Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? Guess what? It's time. What time is it? It's time for Taino Radio. Radio Taino. That's right. We're back. We're back on the air. Eastern time right here in New York City, Lenin Alapi land. It is 9:30 p.m. and it's February 16th, a couple of days after St. Valentine's. Hope everyone had a sweet. That's right, a sweet Valentine, okay? That's really beautiful. And that's right, Taikalaya. Buenas noches a todos. Este Radio Taino aquí en Nueva York. En todo el Caribe, mi corazón está en Puerto Rico, Borinquen, Santo Domingo, Cuba, Jamaica, Haití. Wow, Jamaica. Vamos a ver qué va a pasar esta noche. Let's see what's going to happen tonight. We got a fun show today, I'm telling you. We got some no conspiracy theories here. Oh, maybe one or two. I don't know. We'll throw it out there. But this is Sanacori, a.k.a. Taino Sagrado, former wrestler for Legendary Action Wrestling. And I just want to mention to everyone, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. I'd like to thank Anani for the intro song. That's my it's my daughter. She loves music. She's studying music right now. And I like to introduce. That's right. Hold the press. Hold the cyber radio waves. We have straight out of Long Island from Arayeke, Yucayeke. Her name is Stephanie Sky. What's up, Stephanie? Talk to us.
Hey, Sanacori.
That's right. Wait, A.K.A. Inaru Boria. How about that one?
That's me.
Well, man, that's beautiful. Thank you for being here tonight. This was, you know, I've been researching this show for a little bit, you know, and I'm listening to the old shows. People been writing in Taino Radio 1491 at gmail.com. And I just like to say there's been a lot of compliments on the DNA show that we've been doing. Okay, and you're doing a great job. I was into the old shows. You know, you got to get your PhD in DNA. You know that? You have to do that, man. Okay. Let's see, we get some fundraising for you for that scholarship, okay? I'm telling you, you can do this. Have you ever thought about going into anthropology?
Funny story, I wanted to be an anthropologist. When I was a kid, originally, I wanted to do archaeology, and that ended up actually segueing into me wanting to do anthropology.
Wow. Are you studying that now, anthropology?
Nope. I actually didn't go through with the anthropology and ended up being a business major, and then I did holistic medicine.
That's right. That's right. What? Of course, man. That's great. That's Nitu, right? Or Natu?
Yeah.
What's your company's name again?
Taino.
Nitu Taino.
Nitu Taino.
Right.
Your sister Taino.
That's good, man.
Your Taino sister.
We can always use a Taino sister. They're the best, right?
I think would like to think so.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to say no to that, right? But I'm telling you, I'm looking at my... Hold on a second. I'm looking at my book here. Primario Básico de Taino Boniquenaiki. The Basic Primary Level of Taino Boniquenaiki by Javier Hernandez. And I'm looking right here. I'm still studying it. I'm not fluent. Pero en mana means epaya. Epaya. Interesting. Epaya. So there you go, like mana, epaya. So, hey, you know, I'd like to thank all the listeners once again. I'd like to thank you all. Also, the listeners from the future who are downloading this show, all shows are archived. And listen, I'm kind of excited, Stephanie Sky. You know why?
What's up?
Check out these companies. I mean companies. These companies. I mean these these countries. You got the United States, first place. All you First Nations who are listening from Borinquen. Canada, it's always in third place. It's amazing. We got Jamaica in fourth place. Can you believe it? So all you Taino, Jamaquinos out there, thank you for listening, you know. Then we got the United Kingdom, Australia, Russia, Italy has been very faithful, Italy. And check this out. I'm looking at I'm looking at the map, looking at the ratings. We got the Netherlands, always faithful. Portugal, believe it or not, has been in there. Portugal's been downloading. Mm-hmm. Morocco, they've been a lot. I'll tell you, Morocco is very faithful. And this is cool. This is cool. They've been downloading all our shows, and this is Japan. Okay?
Japan.
Yeah. And it's funny because I don't know what hotel it is, but there's a hotel in Japan that has a huge semi. You know, the Yokohama semi. So that's interesting. So they might know something we don't know. Yeah. Of course, so Jamaica, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. We gotta get Haiti in here, man. If you know anyone from Haiti, we gotta get them in here. And we gotta get Cuba hooked up. That's right. We gotta get Haiti in here. And of course, Russia has been, forget it, it's been phenomenal. Colombia has been kind of quiet for a while. I'm trying to get the Colombians back into the show. But yeah, so we got a couple of, you know, people that have been tuning in as members, Naturally Creative. They subscribe to the show. Sanchez Rosa 499 is also subscribed. Steven Perez, Bati 925, His Grace 6992, and Melissa Ulto has been also subscribing. Hey, I just want to give a shout out to Melissa Ulto. She has donated a 1-year subscription to TainoRadio.com, and she's the one that came up with the design. She came up with the design with the feather and for the what do you call it, for the logo for Taino Radio. Cool. So Melissa, thank you. I'd like to thank you again for sponsoring the show for 1 year, TainoRadio.com. And I knew Melissa in a former show. We were talking about this, you know, through 23andMe, we discovered each other, you know, or she reached out to me actually, and the rest is history. That was at least 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And, you know, 23andMe, I've been a subscriber since 2011. How long is that? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 8 years? No way. 8 years. Damn, I've been with 23andMe. But I've met a whole bunch of people. I see at least more than 50 people through 23andMe that I had no clue that we were related. Are you part of 23andMe or Ancestry? Hello, Stephanie, did we lose you? Uh-oh, I think we lost.
Oh, no, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I said my studio is messing up again.
Oh, I'm right here. I am not right. Part of 23andMe as of yet. I will be joining, though, because I want to get my haplogroup. I am an Ancestry person.
That's it. Hey, for all you people out there, around 10 o'clock, we're going to open up the lines, okay? It's 9:39 now. The phone number you can call in is 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. So we'll be hooking up that. And anyone who wants to call after 10, if you have any questions about DNA, but check it out. Today's topic is called, do DNA companies foster paper genocide? Actually, I should have said, does the DNA come? Or, I'm looking at my grammar right now. Does the DNA companies foster paper genocide? Wow. This is a question I've been asking myself for a while now. Do these companies foster paper genocide? So basically, I want us to discuss tonight the influence of DNA companies on the indigenous Caribbean community or all First Nations that are in need of some kind of evidence, you know, especially if they don't have any documentation. And also, do the higher European percentages of DNA reports equate to a false sense of self-identity as an indigenous? In other words, you know, you got a lot of companies that put you high in the European spectrum, you know, 60%, 70%, 80%. But then you have this indigenous percentage average, right? It's like 10 to 14% on average in Puerto Rico. I think a little lower in DR, but, you know, when people see those low numbers and they see the high European numbers, they say, wait, I'm not indigenous, you know?
Right. So, that's a really big issue, both for the people who are getting the people who are taking the exams for themselves, and then when it's time for them to express and explain their DNA to other people. So, first and foremost, in Boricén specifically, you know, they have this already planned out idea of what makes a Puerto Rican a Puerto Rican. And usually it's about 13% indigenous, 25% African, and the rest is European. That's like the standard idea of what a Puerto Rican is. Like, you can Google, you know, what should a Puerto Rican be? What is a Puerto Rican made out of? And you'll get that. It's usually predominantly European. However, that's not the truth. You know, a lot of our history has always been whitewashed because that's just what happens in history, you know? So when we do the DNA testing, not only do we have to keep that aspect in mind, but we also have to keep in mind that most of these DNA tests were originally only available predominantly to Caucasian people.
Interesting. So you know, I didn't know that.
Yes, because the pool, the genetic pool and the availability, the funds behind it, the science, the experimentation behind it, it was, a lot of it was predominantly catered to our you know, European counterparts. So you were able to get Greek, Irish, even the white South Africans, you know. It was a lot of European-based pooling. When Ancestry first came out, it was mostly European that you can get information on, you know, and you had Mesoamerican. You know, very, very broad spectrums for everything else, you know. When it came down to the portion for Africa, it was your North African, South African, West African, you know, East African, and that was the end of it. They didn't have enough pool of DNA from other cultures to be able to pinpoint where everyone was coming from. So we have people who are overly mixed, you know, Native Indigenous people who are overly mixed due to colonization and taking over specific areas. And what's being recorded and represented is those little portions, those small portions of what became colonized at those times. And then over time, you know, through intermixing, you know, it becomes a little bit more. So, for example, when you go to Mohegan, you know, our North American cousins, Mohegans up here, you'll see a lot of fair-skinned Mohegans, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed Mohegans. And they're native. You know, they have blood quantums that allow them to stay in the tribe. And, you know, they have the paperwork to show, you know, this is my lineage. But they don't look like the quintessential natives, right? But when it comes down to their DNA and breaking down their physical DNA, it's still a large pool of European with some indigenous and whatever else is mixed in there. So what people have to understand when they do their DNA and they break down their DNA, it doesn't matter specifically, again, mm-hmm. for our Taínos, it doesn't matter if you're only 14% Taíno, according to the DNA. You know, you have to remember that our DNA, literally, if you break our DNA down and you connect it piece by piece by piece by piece, you can hold it right mm-hmm. here from Earth and extend it all the way out to Pluto. That's how long the chain mm-hmm. of our DNA is. So there's all those little pieces of DNA, and mm-hmm. in all of those pieces, there's so many things that we still haven't figured out, and then there aren't enough pools, genetic pools, to be able to identify it, because we're still getting into trying to figure out DNA and trying to construct little communities within the DNA projects to be able to label and identify everything that makes everyone what they are. You also have to take into consideration genetic mutations. You know, so you might have a genetic mutation from 18 generations ago that pops up magically, right, in your current DNA structure. And then
exactly.
it starts to rebuild and continue on from your structure. So that mutation
wow.
can read as one thing when it's something completely different. It's just a mutation, but it's reading as something else.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's very important that we remember that as we do DNA testing, that you take it for what it says, but you also have to take into consideration generationally, you know, the stories and the history, the oral traditions that have been passed down to you. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 2% Native or if you're, you know, 75% Native. At this point, you know, we've been fighting literally not just the Taínos, but most Natives have been fighting for their right
mm-hmm.
to be Indigenous and Native since 1400s.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're talking about colonization for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. There's no way, shape, or form we're going to be 100% Native. There's no such thing at this point anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know, so it's all
yeah.
about knowing that you're Native and accepting that whatever portion it is that you have, that doesn't mean you're more or less Native than anyone else. You're still Native.
Definitely. And it's, yeah, we're not into the blood quantum.
No blood quantum.
but it's about culture, right? Culture, for me, that's what I'm looking at. That's
mm-hmm.
been in my experience. You know how you live in your life, you know?
That's
who do you
exactly
honor?
Right.
What are you honoring? What are your beliefs? What is your diet mm-hmm. like, you know? You know, today I
that's
went
right.
on 23andMe during my lunch break, and I started, because I just got my kit, Ancestry.com. So I just sent my kit out and I registered. So I said, you know, let me go back to 23andMe and let me just read some of the information they have. And for the first time, I really sat down and read the stuff they write. And I went on the Native section of the Caribbean. I want you to listen to this, and all you listeners out there, and Stephanie, you'll be the first one to tell me if you see anything wrong in this writing. It says, Luis Sanacori, your DNA suggests that you had Caribbean ancestors. Evidence of human habitation of the Caribbean dates back to over 7,000 years, but the region's indigenous populations collapse within decades after the Spanish expeditions first made contact with the native Arawak peoples living in the Bahamas, Cuba, and Española. Most people from the Caribbean now have predominantly Europe or Western African ancestry, a consequence of the transatlantic slave trade that continued in the region until slavery was abolished in the mid-19th century. So today, the diverse history is reflected in the region's music, cuisine, languages, and DNA. Huh. Do you find anything wrong with that? I'm putting you on the spot. We haven't rehearsed this. We haven't rehearsed this.
Well, I will say that does help further prove the point that I just finished making a few minutes ago, that it
uh-huh.
is very Eurocentric, very Eurocentrified, which is upsetting because they are creating a false narrative from the inception of you indulging in the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from personal experience, when I first did my DNA,
mm-hmm.
I want to say I did it, sheesh,
mm-hmm.
maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago is when I did my DNA.
Okay.
I knew for a fact that there would be some European in my genetics because,
right,
let's face it, not all of my ancestors were going to be, you know, indigenous and Asian and African. I have a whole bunch of fair people in my family, you know, so it was inevitable. I knew I was going to have some European. However, mm-hmm. I didn't think I would find the variations of European that I did. Okay.
Mm.
Over the years, my genetic breakdown from ancestry has changed drastically in some instances, where some countries don't even exist on my DNA anymore. And again, that's reflective of the gene pools changing, you know, the more DNA that they get. But
mm-hmm.
When I first logged in and I got my results, I was very upset at the amount of European that I had, because European culture is not my culture.
That's right.
You know, and as an individual who's never been raised to understand what being European is, to never feel the privilege of what being European is, to have, you know, no European features, I guess, aside from my green eyes. You know, it was very disheartening, because anybody who looks at my genetics on paper will see a white woman with a little admixture of other things.
Exactly.
But when you look at me, you see somebody who represents what most people would say indigenous looks like. You know, I've been told most of my life that I'm a quintessential native. I've been called Jesus. I've been called Pocahontas my whole life, and I've hated it forever. Because nobody knows the real story of Pocahontas. So please stop insulting me like that.
It's the Disney version, right?
I'm like, don't do that. Right. It's the Disney version. But that's what they see me as. They see me as Pocahontas, these big, round, almond eyes with this long, black, braided hair and this, you know, peanut butter colored skin. So they're just like, oh, you're definitely Spanish, or you're definitely, you know, some kind of indigenous. And I'm just like, yeah, somewhat, you know, I'm a mix of a lot of things. But on paper, I look like a white woman.
Wow, that's crazy.
It makes no sense. How can you portray me, you know, my genetics as 50% or more than 50% European?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no European features whatsoever, you know? So it becomes disheartening for a lot of our people when they log online and they're just like, nah, my whole life I've known I've been Afro-Latina, and, you know, I got kinky coiled hair and brown skin and, you know, always kissed by the sun with these brown eyes. And you look and it's just like, I'm only 25% African. I'm only 7%, you know, native. Everything else is white. Where?
Exactly.
If everything else in me is white, where is that being reflected from? So we have to understand that genetics, you know, and the DNA that we have, while it does make us, you know, genetically who we are, it doesn't make us who we are as the individual. If you were raised as an Afro-Latina and you look like an Afro-Latina, you know, at the end of the day, you're Afro-Latina, you know? You're not going to be able to walk next to the Caucasian woman next to you and say, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so, nice to meet you. We're clearly, you know, from the same line of people, because that woman is going to look at you like you're crazy. So it's important.
Exactly.
It's really important that when people start to look at their DNA, they understand that this is all a culmination of things from way before just your grandparents. We're talking about your grandparents' grandparents and their grandparents. You know, this goes back very far and trace genes passed down. You know, they can skip you and go straight to, you know, the next generation. But it's always an applicable way for, you know, fair skin from 1592 to be your skin complexion because it is in your bloodline, but it doesn't make you what mm-hmm. you were, what you've grown up to be. You can choose to embrace that, but you can also choose to refute it. I don't in any way, shape, or form acknowledge the European in me because unfortunately, none of the European in my family was by choice. You know, we didn't openly invite them in. And what happened, Lee, is I have my family tree can date back to literally 900 and something, the year 900 something, to King Egbert from like Wales or England or some crap. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, one of my ancestors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get past the 1600s in my family in Puerto Rico because of the paper genocide that happened.
There you go.
So many natives, even our North American cousins, so many natives have been erased from history, from just existing, because we were native. And it makes it difficult, again, for our people to be able to identify with their culture because there's no records of us.
Wow.
You know, they tried to exterminate us in the 1400s. They tried to exterminate other Tainos in the 1500s. They tried to exterminate our North American cousins through so many different and various accounts. You know, South America, they're still trying to exterminate our native family in South America. And nobody is considering that. Nobody even thinks like, hey, look, you know, where's the documentation for this? We have census records out the wazoo. And on the census records, you're Black, Spanish, or Caucasian. And then it asks, are you Puerto Rican? Because, you know, for some reason, we're always getting the special treatment of we can't be just Hispanic or we can't be Black or we can't be white. We have to put down, you know, that's because we're a Commonwealth. But I'm not getting into that because it's a DNA show.
That's great for another show.
Right. So it's like, you know, nobody chooses to identify us as Native people. You know, we're either on reservation or we're non-existent. And the ones that are on reservations are treated like pony tricks. So,
you know, it's funny. I never forgot this. Back in the 90s, if you say you were Taino, it was like people would look at you like, what the hell? You know, either what's that?
And I still
like,
get it.
Yeah, oh, you guys are extinct. But check it out. Guess what? I met a traditional woman. Her name is Caroline Wing. She was a medicine woman. And when she asked me, oh, what tribe are you from? I said, oh, I'm Taino. And then she was like, oh, awesome. I can't believe it. Thank you for blessing the circle with your presence. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, like, and she said, what's wrong? She told me, what's wrong? She says, you accept me as Taino? You know, like, and she's like, of course. I'm like, but really? Like, and she was like, well, all I can say is, you know, I hear people say they're Cherokee or they're this, they're that. But Taino, you must be Taino because you're identified as Taino. Like, no one identifies as Taino. Like,
nobody,
you know,
identifies.
Either people are afraid or they just don't want, you know. So,
yeah.
So I said, and yep. And she said, well, you guys are in the bottom of the totem pole, so you must be Taino. Like, no one wants to be Taino, you know. So it's like, wow. So it took a while, you know. But, oh, listen, I was reading also this. I clicked on the Native American part of my DNA percentage they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they wrote. Explore the genetics of the Americas. I'm like, let's see what they have to say. So they start the article, Nueva America, right? So I guess they try to get a little ethnic there, right?
Interesting.
So they go, the genetic landscape of the Americas was dramatically altered over the past 500 years. So before, we're talking about 7,000 years, right? So following the waves of immigration from Europe, Africa, and Asia, millions of indigenous Americans perished as a result of exposure to old world diseases and genocide at the hands of the European colonizers. But
at least they got half truth in there.
Yeah, but check it out. Then they say, but always beware of but, right? But
yeah,
the genetic legacies of these early Americans persist to this day, primarily in Central and South America. Primarily. Extensive mixing of historical populations called admixture resulted in new admixed genetic and cultural identities that define the people of the Americas today. So they kind of broke down a little ancestry breakdown of admixture. So they got into the admixture, you know. So at this point, I called 23andMe. I always wanted to call them, you know. I said, you know what? I got half hour of my lunchtime. So I called them. And I reviewed this section. The first section I reviewed, not so much. But this one, I said, I would like to speak to the writers of the website. And then they read me some kind of script. I said, no. I want to speak to the writers. Because this, my friend, is called paper genocide. And he's like, excuse me? I said, this is false information, you know? First of all, yes, I acknowledge that there are genetic legacies, right, of my ancestors, right? But then you say primarily Central and South America. What about the Caribbean? You just gave me a whole section on the Caribbean. Yeah, you just gave me a whole section on the Caribbean where my ancestry is from. Now you're saying that, you know, now you get into the admixtures. Well, you know, what about my ancestors? What about our living communities now? We have living, striving communities. You know, for example, like Nahuake in Puerto Rico, Borinquen, you know, since 2003, they've been struggling to get the federal status. On Macao and in San Lorenzo, you know, they recognize them as indigenous. So it's like, can you guys write a little thing about that? That, you know, it's not just genetics, but it's cultural. We're still here. And then he gave me some crazy, like, oh, send me a snapshot of it. And I said, well, go to your website. It's right there. So he said, well, you know, I'll try to connect you to the writers, but it's going to be difficult. And then he said, go to the forum. There's like a forum where you can say stuff. I said, no. I want to speak to the writers. This is paper genocide, you know.
Right.
And then finally I said, listen, I'm trying to give you guys a shot, you know, because this is going to turn into a petition. A protest because this is called paper genocide, you know. And then I mentioned how I have a radio you know, we have a radio show, blah blah blah. And then finally he's just like, well, let me get your email, let me send it off, and whatever, you know. So then I never got the email. So this is gonna be a battle, you know, because I think it's holy crap. You know, and I look at the references that they gave for that little blurb there. They got nothing from the Caribbean.
Right.
Well, let me take it back. I have to find this book. Moreno Estrada. A. Moreno Estrada. I got to get this book and others. In 2013, he wrote a book called Reconstructing the Population Genetic History of the Caribbean. So I have to get that book. They quoted this book, you know. Most of us. Yeah. Oh, look at this. Schroeder, H. Schroeder, and others, Origins and Genetic Legacies of the Caribbean Taino. See, you know, once again, the legacy, but they never talk about the cultural. I have to read those books. But basically.
That's very interesting. I'm surprised.
And the thing is, they got
23andMe.
And the thing is, they got the scientific evidence. But when I pressed them, I said, okay, you guys told me in this report that my mother is A2 haplogroup, which is dates, you know, the first parents were like 20,000 years ago, you know. So, and I told them, okay, arguments say maybe it took 20,000 years to get to the Caribbean, probably less. But check this out. How does 20,000 years compare to, in my 23andMe, they said the last genetic people that migrated to my DNA was Spanish and Portuguese, right? In the mid-1800s. So I said, well, then you got to put my native higher, percentage higher. Why am
right.
I 69% Spanish and Portuguese? They just showed up in the 1800s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So finally what he said was, well, we only go back 200 years, you know? We only go back 200
mm-hmm.
years. So I said, why don't you say that on your site?
Right.
You know?
That's information that they have to disclose.
Yeah, so it's kind of misleading. There's people reading this and saying, oh, shit, I'm...
It
and
is.
You know what I told him? You know the last thing I told him? He listened, though. He listened. I admit it, you know. He says, I told him, I have no information about my Spanish, Portuguese roots. You know, maybe the language, you know. But my family is more, you know, Boricua, you know, the indigenous diet, the belief systems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, most of them were Catholic because that's the norm in the island, you know. But
yeah.
But I don't know where my Spanish ancestors came from, you know. I don't know what town in Portugal, you know. It's you know we don't have that information, you know. So what,
right.
you know, why am I so high on this Spanish? So he had no, he said, whoa, you know, he read from a script. I felt bad for him though, but. Something has to happen. We got to put the pressure on these companies, you know, to.
No, to yeah, work. Definitely. Like I said, I'm really surprised at 23andMe. The information
uh-huh.
for Ancestry is definitely, it's not the best, but it's definitely
uh-huh.
better than what 23andMe is offering. Because I do have indigenous Puerto Rico that comes up specifically
yeah.
on my
yeah.
DNA, my origin story for Ancestry.com.
Uh-huh.
I have indigenous Puerto Rico as well as indigenous Cuba and
well, I got
indigenous
Cuba
Americas
too.
For Colombia and Venezuela.
Oh, damn,
so,
I got Cuba too.
When you actually click the part for indigenous Puerto Rico on Ancestry.com,
uh-huh.
it does give a little blurb and it says,
mm-hmm.
you know, our indigenous Puerto Rico region encompasses the archipelago of Puerto Rico.
Right.
With its
uh-huh.
main island and more than 140 islets and caves. The Taino
uh-huh.
were the primary inhabitants until the Spanish arrived in the late 1400s, which is accurate. The
right.
Spanish conquistadors marveled at the complex Taino ceremonial dances and oral storytelling traditions. The
okay.
polytheistic Taino believed that their gods, known as Semis, controlled elements of the natural world, such as wind and fire. So the beginning is correct. The last part is correct for the most part. But that middle part about the Spanish arriving in the 1400s and the conquistadors marveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. They marveled
That's...
for a minute and then they wanted to take it. And then they tried to
Man.
Take it. You know? So it's still whitewashing the heck out of our history. You know, it's still making it seem like they're okay a little bit. You know, it wasn't all bad. And it agitates the crap out of me, honestly. I went to the Museum of Natural History out here in New York City
a few weeks ago
with my kids.
Oh, really?
And
before
you walk into the, like, the African Sahara part where they have all of the,
mm-hmm.
the stuffed animals that were donated by people, there's this little section by the entrance that has the Native Americans and I guess what is considered to be the pilgrims, quote unquote, air quotes, standing there. And they talk about the first meeting. And I promise you, I kid you not, I made such a scene in the middle of the museum, not even on purpose.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was just like, wait, hold on. I got to stop. I have to go look at it because I want to see how badly they are representing Native Indigenous history. So, of course, I go up to the little plaque and they're talking about all of the things, all of the good things and the ways that these Europeans encountered the Lenape in the area. And I'm just reading it, cackling, dying, laughing, because I'm just like, yo, this is so false. This is such an insult to Indigenous history. This is such an insult to the living Lenape in the area. It's such an insult just... nonstop rambling, because literally there's no accountability for the way that the Eurocentric thought process of how history is, what history is, and the European role that history plays, there's no accountability for the whitewashing of it, how mm-hmm. everyone is still trying to push this white is right narrative. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, there were people here first that had mm-hmm. so many advancements in technology and in education, in just world thought in general, you know, and world experience at that, because especially, you know, our Caribbean indigenous and Central American indigenous people, we traveled. We successfully mm-hmm. traveled from place to place, migrating from area to area, intermingling and trading.
Exactly.
You know, even our Asian indigenous people, you know, and nobody takes that into account. You know who's taken into account? Christopher Columbus, Ponce de Leon. You know, these are the people that are looked at like, oh, it's so great, you know, and marveled at. And it's just like, yo, we were doing that hundreds of years before.
Exactly,
where's our
man.
Recognition? You know, where's our little place in history?
Mm-hmm.
So it's wild to me how even when they're trying to be inclusive, it's still Eurocentric.
Well, this is the thing. This is the whole sense about. I want to get so much into the politics of that white supremacy, that whole that white is right, you know,
mm-hmm.
or the great white hope, you know, and it's rampant in our culture because you know we were invaded. Oh, that's another thing. You know, in Netflix, there's a novella, there's a soap opera. Or I should say a series, right? A mini series, I guess they call it, Netflix. It's
mm-hmm.
It's about the Spanish.
What you're talking about. Oh my God! It came out last year, right? Like in the summertime.
Yeah, something conquistador and and whatever, you know.
Yep. And it was a whole lot of speculation that it's based on a Taino woman.
Yeah.
You know, she falling in love with this conquistador, the Spanish man, and he does all these things. It's like a Pocahontas story. That's exactly what it's like. It's like a Pocahontas story, pero novela-like.
Yeah. I mean, it's a ripple. So someone asked me, someone asked me to watch it with them, and I said, all right, I'm gonna watch this like I'm an advisor. Let's see if they got a good advisor for this show. You know, she gets kidnapped or she gets, you know, whatever. She's a slave. They put her in a cell. You know, typical,
mm-hmm.
like, you know. I mean, it was a little tame. They didn't whip her or anything like that. But then who saves her? The Spaniard.
Uh-huh.
You know, on horseback. Then
because
they fall in love.
What they were doing.
Yes, and they fall in love. This and that. I'm saying this is the first episode. On its first two episodes. I couldn't watch anymore, but I'm like,
I was going to say God bless you because I didn't get past the trailer.
No, but check it out. It's like, why couldn't a native rescue her? You know?
Right?
Why had to be
a Spaniard? Burn down the area where all the white people were who stole her.
Yeah. Oh, and here's and this is the part that got me a little upset. You know, he finds a cave, right? Or cave or something. All right? Does that ring a bell? A cave? And she has some wounds on her back, on her shoulder. So he starts curing her. He starts doing medicine, you know, natural medicine.
Oh, the Spaniard is doing the medicine in the cave.
In the cave.
So
I'm like, okay, they're using our Bejique.
Right.
And it's like, damn, they couldn't find a Bejique, like a runaway Bejique somewhere in a cave. To do this, you know, that would have been cooler, you know, like a renegade Bejique is hiding out in a cave.
Right. Something, so, anyone, like you pop into the cave and you're just like, oh, yeah. Perdón, excuse me. And it's just like, no, ring, déjame ayudarte, you know, something, you know.
Yeah. So then my question was, all right, in the first episode, she saw her father get killed. She saw the village get destroyed. You know, and then she becomes a slave. You know, she saw all these Europeans do all this. Now she's going to fall in love with a European. Okay, that makes sense, you know? So I was like...
Like I said, just like the Pocahontas story. Mm.
Exactly.
Shameful.
And you know, once again, you know, we really, you know, through media, we have to take control of our narrative. You know, this
mm-hmm.
is this,
we do.
This is the thing. So right after that, I back in the 2000s, I did a play in a church. It's called Cacique Hatue, the Louis Lopez story. And, you know, I raised some funding for the youth program, you know. I used to work in East Harlem, one of the schools there, Catholic schools. And what happened was, right after that novela, whatever that, I saw two episodes. I just started writing, man, like 3 in the morning, trying to fix the, what they call it, the screenplay. And mm-hmm. I'm like, so it's good that we have these things because it forces us, you know, to write our own narrative. You know, we got to put our stuff out
right.
there, you know, because they're doing it and they're making money on it. So I don't know. It's just, and this is the DNA too. The same thing with the DNA. It's like, wow, man. It's like, geez, it's a lot of confusion for a lot of people that are new, you know,
mm-hmm.
to their whole
it
cultural awareness.
Is.
Yeah.
And it becomes problematic. It definitely mm-hmm. does, because we have a lot of people who do have European features that mm-hmm. are, let's say, Puerto Rican or Cubano or, you know,
uh-huh.
the Ecuador, where they're fair-skinned. You know, they look very fair-skinned, mm-hmm. but they have indigenous features.
Right.
And then they're just like, you know, I believe that I'm this, you know, and then they take these DNA tests to confirm, and they're just like, oh, well, I have 4% Taino in me, or I have 4% Incan in me, you know, or I have 4% Mayan in me. And I don't think that's enough for me to be able to claim that identity.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
That breaks my heart, because it's like, if you come from a family, right, where, you know, your grandfather was the ideal quintessential Indio, you know, he looked Indio, you know,
yeah.
that brown sandy skin and that dark black hair and, you
yeah,
know, our wide
exactly.
noses, our cheekbones, you know, exactly what an Indio in Puerto Rico looks like.
Right.
And you came out European looking. And you only have 4% Taino. That doesn't make you any less Taino than anybody else. It makes your features different. But inside your heart, if you have your abuelo's soul in you, with you, you carry those traditions, you know, nobody's going to tell you that if you go outside and you mix these herbs together, it's not going to work for you because you're not Taino. The medicine is still going to work the exact same way. You know, that love, that culture, it still carries on exactly the same way. You just look mm-hmm. a little different, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
the people who are struggling with identity because they don't match this quintessential idea of what an Indian native, you know,
yeah.
looks like, the first thing that needs to happen is you have to erase that idea of what that quintessential
yeah.
look is. Everybody's not going to look like Geronimo. It's not
exactly.
happening. You know,
exactly.
we're not going to look like that. We're not going to look like the little head on the Cuban cigar. That's not what we look like anymore. It's not 1492. You know, it's not 1392. We don't have the access to what it was at that time. We've mixed. We've intermingled for survival. You know,
exactly.
So we as indigenous people have to your indigenous brother, your indigenous sister, your indigenous cousins are going to share medicine. You know, we will always share the same kind of medicine. Even our North American cousins, we share the same medicines and the same practices, just different herbs, you know, but we look different.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Well, you know, it's the migrations, you know, tons of migration. And forget the blood quantum. It's all about sharing culture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in indigenous culture, we have a very unique way of looking at the world. You know, that's still is alive and well. And this is what I love too, that I meet a lot of Caribbean people who quote unquote been colonized, you know, or whatever, but yet they know nothing of indigenous people, maybe through movies and stuff. And there's
yep.
certain things that, you know, cause I've been with indigenous folks on the res and I see so many similarities, you know, how you treat a guest, how you treat a guest,
mm-hmm.
how you pray, you know, and it's like wow, man, this is like, if they could only see this, that this is a deep-rooted culture that hasn't gone away, you know, but somehow it's been, the identity has been stripped, but we still live it. You get it?
Right.
The identity has been stripped, but we still live it. And, wow, that's just...
It's very true. Again, from experience, right?
Uh-huh.
My grandmother, my entire maternal line is from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So all of our history comes from Puerto Rico, from the San Lorenzo and Cagua region.
Wow,
so,
that's not Huaque territory. Yeah.
So it's like my entire existence, my grandfather would always say, you know, yo soy el indio, yo soy indio. Every single day of his life, it was soy indio. I'm an Indian is what he would always say, right? My grandmother, on the other hand, would never identify as a Taino woman.
Wow.
Never, ever, ever. My grandfather was still pale, but he had a little bit more color to him. You know, my grandmother is very fair-skinned, white-looking, you know, European white.
Yeah.
My grandmother's mother, though, looks like a quintessential Native woman. Brown skin, brown eyes, brown hair, right? So my grandmother lived in a Bohio. That's what she lived in growing up. My grandmother was born in 1942. And
nice.
What she originally lived in is a quintessential Bohio from, you know, what the Tainos lived in. The cups that the Tainos used, the bowls that the Tainos used are the exact same bowls that my grandmother grew up using. You
Look
know,
at
the,
that.
The gourds that we keep, or that the Tainos used to keep ashes in for the dead, you know, the same kind of gourd that Yayel Story has. You know, my grandmother had those growing up in her house. My grandmother still has those in her house right now. And it literally wasn't until November 2020, last year, November, a few months ago, where I took my grandmother and my mother back to Puerto Rico for the first time. This is the first time I've ever been to Puerto Rico with my mom and my grandmother.
Wow.
And I took them to the Taino Museum. And when we walked into the Taino Museum, my grandmother was in awe. In awe.
Oh, damn.
Of all the things that they had in the museum, because they're just like, this looks like mommy's house.
Wow.
The pictures of the wall heel. The pictures of the utensils that they had, the combs, the bowls, the pottery, the gourds, the chairs, you know, the little chairs that the cacique would sit in.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things
the duho.
So she had all of these. Every single piece of everything that was inside of this museum, she had in her mother's house, in her mother's field growing up. My grandmother grew up playing bate.
There you
go. And sat there and told me exactly how you play the game. This is how you do it. This is how you play it. This is how it's scored. And I'm just like, pero, all of these years, you know, I'm old, a little bit over 30 years old. I'm just like, all of these years that you looked at me crazy because I listened to Grandpa telling me that he's Indio and I accepted him calling me, you know, his little Taino princess all the time and him never wanting to cut my hair. All of these things. And now all of these things that you're being introduced to now.
Yeah.
And you still can look me in my face. Can you look me in my face and tell me that you honestly believe that you're not Taino? And she looked at me for the first time in her almost 80 years of life, and she's like, I never knew I was Taino.
Wow.
You know, and it's crazy because her mother did medicine. She did natural medicine. Anybody who was sick would go to her mother. She passed that on to my grandmother, and my grandmother passed that on to me. My grandmother had a grand garden here in Long Island when I was growing up, and everything was medicinal. She was mashing herbs for everything, cooking medicine all the time. Anytime we were sick, it was never we're going to the pharmacy. We're going into the yard. And we're going to go pick these herbs and these plants. You know, so it took her almost 80 years of her life to recognize what the reality was, which is she was raised as a Taino. And because of the stigma against Native people. You know, in Puerto Rico, sometimes they still consider Native and identifying as Native as being dirty or being less than, being classless.
Exactly.
You know, because of that stigma that's been embedded in us for hundreds of years, she never was able to identify being a Taíno woman or even having a connection to the Taíno culture. And it was at 79 years old that she's just like, well, shoot, I guess I am a Taíno. And she's embraced it since then.
There you go, man. And that's like the reawakening, you know, the reawakening of who we are as a people.
Exactly.
You know, like, we've been around too long. Our genetic codes, what, 7,000 years in the Caribbean to just die off.
Yeah,
man.
Roughly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Taíno culture, you know, it evolved in 1000 AD, or Common Era, around 1000, 1100, you know, so, you know, less than 500 years. And we got a little bump in the road there with the invasion. Oh, that's another thing.
Right.
In this Netflix show, they keep saying conquistador. I hate that. And so I say,
yeah,
it's invade. It was an invasion.
Right, they're invaders.
Because if we call them conquistadors, that means they won. They conquered.
Right.
They didn't conquer shit, you know? So
mm-hmm.
We're still here. I don't see them around. Do you see any conquistadors around? So
not when you go to Puerto Rico.
I mean, the only thing that survived, I think, in that era was the machismo.
Yeah.
What else? Machismo. And then there's the... Well, that's a big issue, machismo in the islands, you know, domestic violence and all that, and controlling the
mm-hmm.
female, you know, because our matriarchal society turned into machismo.
The patriarchy?
Machismo.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, there's a point I was going to say, I forgot. So, you know, this is an ongoing discussion, who we are as a people. You know, we look at these companies, and it's a shame that, you know, they have the information there. They haven't. They look at they have our DNA, and they say we
mm-hmm.
perished. How the hell did we perish
right.
if our DNA keeps popping up?
I definitely think it's I think Taíno Radio should definitely reach out to both 23andMe and Ancestry and see maybe they'll send us a few free kits. Maybe we could try and convince them send us a few
right?
free kits, raffle them off. And, you know, do something with the show. Maybe they'll be open to listening to what Taínos feel when they receive their results. You know, maybe we can find a few Taínos that haven't gotten a DNA test but believe or think that they might have the heritage in them. And let them, you know, experience it. And then let them... directly tell Ancestry what's going on. Maybe we could get a rep. Maybe we can get a rep from Ancestry to agree to come onto the show for something like that.
Well, this is not over, man. I didn't get the email. Actually, let me see if I didn't get the emails. But it's not over yet. This is only the beginning. But
absolutely.
I just hope one day that will give us a category, Taíno or.
Ancestry is at least giving us indigenous Puerto Rico, indigenous Cuba. You know, they do mention the Taínos and indigenous Cuba at the same time. You know, they have indigenous Haiti and Dominican Republic as well. So Ancestry is trying to be a little bit more inclusive, but we'll see.
Well, I want to encourage people. We're going to try to pick a day where people could tune in, call in, and maybe they want to share their DNA or whatever questions they have. I think it's very important to counteract what's being published. You know, we can create
mm-hmm.
our own narrative here or reinforce the narrative that we're still here. And it's not about the look. It's about the living, the style of living, you know?
Right.
Oh, man, I just wish we could... We got to keep this momentum going because, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we have a great model in Nahuake, in the eastern part of the island, eastern and central, como Comerío, all the way to Espino, Omacao, all these places. It's like, You know, there's communities there that took the DNA through National Geographic. People understand who they are. They're still living on ancestral land. That's another thing. You know, so it was amazing. Yare, Dr. Yare Melendez, who's an anthropologist and was the original community organizer of Nahuake. I remember she showed me a black and white photo of these indigenous women, right, by a river. I'm like, oh my God, Yare, where did you get this? This is like turn of the century, 1900s. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is, because she had a whole collection of photos that she collected from museums and stuff. She had her own collection of photos from Puerto Rico. And I say, these women are beautiful. They're like straight out the res, you know. You know, you get a little romantic, you know, which is all right. But I'm like, wow, man, it just shows that our people were still here in the 1900s. If you look at the blood quantum, right. You know. And then she says, okay, cool. So she took me to visit a family that day in San Lorenzo. She was one of the dequinas, one of the teachers and volunteers of Nahuake for the children. And you know, the property had a fence, right? And the fence, I guess it prevented you from falling off the cliff, which led to a river, mm-hmm. you know? And because there was children on the grounds, it was beautiful, you know? And so I said, do you recognize this? I'm like, no, I never been here. It's beautiful, though, with the river. And they says, are you sure you don't recognize this? It's like, no. She takes out the photo. Compare the photo now. Oh, my God, it's the same river. We're actually at the spot. We're actually at the spot where this photo was taken in the 1900s, right, where these indigenous women were sitting. And then I said, well, let me introduce you to Carmen. This is the great-granddaughter of these women, of one of these women that was sitting. And it was the same land. They've been on this land for before the Spaniards, man. I'm like, holy crap, what am I looking at here? You know what I mean? This is our tradition, man. Yeah. The river was still there. Only thing, they had a fence so you don't fall and bust your ass, I guess. But it was
That's
beautiful.
Interesting. That's very interesting. My great-grandmother had a river behind hers as well, behind her home. There's a big river behind her house.
There you go. And that's where our ancestors lived, you know?
And that's in the same place in San Lorenzo.
Yeah, man, that's where they live. If you hear people's stories, oh, yeah, I heard drumming. Oh, I heard
all
these spirits
time.
Talking.
Oh,
but guess
my
what?
God. It's always
but guess
the
what?
Drumming.
It's always by the rivers.
Yeah, or by the mountains. My mom used to hear it by the mountains.
There you go. But was it by a river, close to a river?
It was, well, my grandmother's house, my great-grandmother's house was by the river in San Lorenzo. And then if you go all the way, you know, up the mountain, uh-huh. it goes uh-huh. towards like a mountain that they used to call like the mountain for the Indios.
Yeah.
And they called it the mountain like for the Indios because they always heard drumming.
Drumming.
Or they would hear the hissing of the snakes.
Okay. Wow, that is amazing. Well, the mm-hmm. snake represents Atabe. The snake represents Atabe. Our ancestors will carve snakes all the time. You know. Oh, wait. Before we close the show. Yep. Yeah, it was the carving of snakes was Atabe. Oh, man, before we go, we got a special guest. We got a special Stephanie. You might know him.
Uh-oh.
Here he is. Hey, better late than never.
Who's that?
Spooky Lou, where are you?
Oh, goodness.
Well, you know what? With that we're trying to produce a show for the paranormal. People really enjoyed it. You know, we're trying to bring that show back. And people were asking about ghost stories in Borinquen mm-hmm. and the islands, Quisqueya. Any ghost stories? So I'm trying to. I've been talking to some people in DR, see what stories they have, you know, about the ghosts. But I tell you something about DR that I love. I've been researching this and learning is that Agua Dulce, the 21 divisions, and uh-huh. and one of the divisions is the water division, which is indigenous. You know,
right.
You know, a lot of you know, in Santeria, you know, it mostly is African based, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in DR, they have a division called Agua Division, Agua Dulce, which is indigenous. It's straight up. You can't get any more real than that. You know what I mean? There's no hiding it. So I'm going to try to, you know, future shows, you know, talk about that of the 21 divisions and how indigenous is still very much alive in those divisions.
Right.
You know? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got to talk about those stories, man. I know, oh, my God, I can tell you.
I'm pretty sure my mom can call in and give you a couple of stories from Puerto Rico.
There you go. So we're going to work on that. There's nothing like a good old ghost story or bias, you know, right? Mm-hmm. It gets everyone's attention. So I got some feedback from those shows, you know. And also, I just want to share with viewers, with listeners, I should say, that Nahuake Radio is back. Nahuake, it's a huge community in the eastern part of the island of Puerto Rico, Borinquen. Sadly, tragically, the leader, which is Dr. Yare Melendez, sadly, she's passed on to Guave. She's an ancestor now, and she's looking over us all. I learned so much from her about community organizing and community building, I should say. And as Arayeke, you know, we're going to dedicate shows on that too, okay? How we going to, you know, how can we attract people who want to restore, you know,
mm-hmm.
the identity as an indigenous community, you know? But we have to be careful too, you know, we don't want to diss anyone who represents as, you know, like Puerto Rican independence or whatever. It's all the same struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's all the same struggle, but please, I just want people to understand that we too, as indigenous, we have a voice, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a voice and we need to be listened to, you know,
and a right to exist.
We have a right
in
to
a safe space.
Yep, for too long, in India was always seen as something negative, you know,
mm-hmm.
or something from the past, you know. But we're here, man. We're here. We are our uncles. We are our aunts, the cousins,
mm-hmm.
you know, mom, dad. Nothing from the past. It's still here. So we got to continue on. All these communities are trying to fight for that. We're just not an admixture group. Like 22, 23. We're just not an amateur motley group. No, we are who we are. We're indigenous. So listen, Stephanie okay. Sky, Inaru Bori, I'd like to thank you for being with us tonight. It's
mm-hmm.
always
thank
a pleasure.
You, thank you.
Let's try to build this up. I want to invite you to Nahuake Radio too. That's active now. And Nahuake Radio is going to be dedicated to keeping the spirit alive of Yare Melendez, of community building. You know, so
I'd be honored.
Yeah, Nahuake Radio, and people can download Nahuake Radio, and you can download the old archive shows. Thankfully, you know, I always used to ask her, please share, and she would share what she knew, you know, what she learned, and you know, we got to keep that hope alive, right? We got to keep the hope alive that
mm-hmm.
we are still here. So, all right, I'd like to
yeah.
thank you. You know, I like to close the show with a nice song. Oh, hold on a second. This is a show it's called Taka Naboria. I am the servant of the mountain and the rivers. Maya Ni Makana. It's by Juan Luis Guerra. And he wrote this in 1992 when everybody was celebrating Columbus. My boy was celebrating his Taino heritage. So I end the
nice.
Show with his song, okay? It's a beautiful song.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. We'll be in touch, all right? And all you viewers out there.
You got it.
Thank you all for tuning in.
Naboria da kahuaitia, maya Makana Naboriaga.